that I'm glad you're all here. And I'm going to thank you for a moment of silence, and then we'll begin our service. This is the day God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed be the one holy and living God. Glory to God forever and ever. Our opening hymn is number 335, I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and mercifully give us those things for which, for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and to your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the place Bethel. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Oh, get that harmony. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Oh,
So before I read the gospel, just a couple of comments. One is that with Pete Seeger, some of us grew up with Pete Seeger. Walter Brueggemann, a great Old Testament professor, called the prophets of God people who helped us get our imaginations in line with God's imagination. And I think Pete Seeger, through music, did that, especially through the movements for the environment, clearing up the Hudson River, sailing on his vessel, the Clearwater, the positions he took early on regarding Vietnam and others. I was thinking of Pete Seeger this week when John Lewis, another saint of God, died. And John, in an interview, talked about music, and especially the music of the church. And he said, you know, I always think of music as the wings of the bird of the civil rights movement. Without music, we would not have been able to fly. And so that great music of imagination, of protest, of prayer. Thank God for the musicians in our lives. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who has sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And he answered, an enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. And then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us this parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered them, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels. They will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. I want to think with you this morning about our story, our lesson from the Old Testament. The concluding line was, and he called that place Bethel. In Hebrew, that one word that we say, Bethel, is actually two words, Beth and El. In Hebrew, the word Beth means house, and El was short for Elohim, for God. He was saying, this is the house of God. But what I'd like you to notice is there is no house there. There is no building there. This seems especially poignant to me right now, as we who are St. Martin's are not able to meet in our building. That building that over the years has become your spiritual home. It's where baptisms and weddings and funerals, where Christmas pageants and ordinary Sunday services have taken place. It's where meals have been shared in the undercroft and work parties and classes that push the boundaries of our hearts and of our minds. All that has taken place in those buildings. I recently read a book about the history of restaurants. And I just assumed that restaurants had been forever. And the book says there were inns along highways, but they were intended primarily just to give basic nurture to people who are traveling, that the very first restaurants are a relatively new development in human history. Actually, not much more than about 200 years from now. Places that were specifically created only to invite people to come and eat there. A place set aside for special use. There's something special, I think, about designated space. I've often gone into churches when no one else is there, and the beauty of the space has moved me to a closer communion with God. The church of my youth was a school gymnasium. I was really fascinated to hear this morning that when St. Martin's got started, it met for 3 years in the Martinsville Municipal Building. I remember as a kid, our pulpit was right under the basketball hoop. And we kids thought that was great. We always imagined throwing baskets while the preacher was preaching. We could not do that. But as soon as possible, the people built a special place unique for worship, but they kept their gymnasium as a reminder. They kept the gym, and it's still used for the youth group and for other gatherings. But my point this morning is it's good for us to keep our spiritual truth in balance. To remember that Bethel was not a building. Bethel was an experience along the way. Jacob was running for his life. He was running for fear of his brother Esau. You remember last week we read how Jacob stole Esau's birthright, his inheritance. Jacob had gone so far, he was so tired, that he pulled up a stone for a pillow. You have to be pretty tired to use a stone as a pillow. The holy thing is that in the midst of his running, he had the most wonderful meeting with God. It was peace-filled. It was hope-filled. It was future-oriented. And there was no doubt that Jacob referred to this experience as being a way to heaven. And again, heaven was not a place. Heaven was not a building or a set of buildings. Heaven was a connection. In this dream, it was a ladder to connect disconnected beings, a man on the run with a God who knew and loved him anyway. When we sing the song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder," I think we're expressing the longing of the human heart to connect with God, to connect with each other. I like that Pete Seeger changed the refrain to brothers, sisters, all. That we're talking about that kind of holy connection, that we sense God, that we speak with God, that we experience God. This is not about buildings, but about what is happening along the way of life, often a way that is full of challenge, as it was for Jacob, especially when we're struggling, especially when things are hard. All this came to Jacob in a dream about God. I want to invite you this morning to dream, not just in the sleeping sense, although that's good too, but in the imagination sense, about how you personally and about how we collectively as St. Martin's can connect with God in new ways since we are not in our building at this time. Let this time be a moment of holy opportunity so that good things can come even out of challenges. So often that's the way life is, isn't it? That good things come out of challenges. The one other thing I love about this story is that when Jacob woke up, when he got up in the morning and he realized, I've been sleeping on this stone, He took that stone to mark the place. That happened a lot in the Bible. People set up piles of stones. When they came through the Red Sea, they set up what they called their Ebenezer. I had to look, there's a hymn that talks about, here we raise our Ebenezer. I always wondered what that was. I had to look it up. It's setting up a pile of stone as a marker to remember. And to remember what? To remember to tell the story. Every time a traveler would come by a marking stone, it was an invitation in that culture to tell the story of what had happened there. Because you see, that's the other part of meeting God. When God has met you along the journey, God will help you in such a way that you want to tell the story to other people to give them hope for their journey. We are a church. Not just because we own a building, but because we have encountered God along the way, and we gather regularly to recall our encounters with God, to have new meetings and new experiences. We gather to tell stories. Here's where I met God. Here's what happened in my life. Let me tell you. Right now, St. Martin's is out of its building, but that's only a part of who and what St. Martin's is. In some way, being out of our building may actually help us to focus on other aspects of what it means to be the church, in the same way that you and I all know people who either don't have sight or don't have hearing, and their other senses are more attuned to the things going around them. Perhaps for this momentary time in history where we are without one of our senses, without our building, it may attune us more closely to other aspects of what it means for us to be the church in the 21st century. For us, this period of time may be that we find new ways to live and to tell our stories to our neighbors, to our families, to our friends. We might say, hey, Jacob had a ladder, but let me tell you about my time with God. I remember it well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. With Christians throughout the ages and around the globe, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Holy God, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, and Chip, our diocesan, and for all bishops, for Tim, our priest, and for all priests and deacons, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who have all who govern and who hold authority in the nations, that there may be justice and peace on earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer any grief or troubles. For Robert and Michael, Micaiah, and for Peg Irwin, who's undergoing surgery this week, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. We offer prayers of gratitude and debt to all who serve others during this time. Grant them energy, health, and resolve for their ministry among us. And for your church, may the day come soon when we can feast again at your table. Until that great day, keep us steadfast in care for one another, regular in prayer, and faithful in worship and service to your world. Hear us now as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of God be with you. And also with you.
Lord God, you now have set your standard free to know in peace as promised in your
Frederick Emiel once said, life is short and we don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk this way with us. So be swift to love, make haste to be kind. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you on your journey into this new week and remain with you always. Amen. Go forth to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. And you can unmute yourselves, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Unmuted.
Thank you.
Way to go. Good to see you all this morning.